hadde egentlig forberedt en tale til i dag. Og så var det sånn underveis i den prosessen at jeg kjente at jeg holdt den for så vidt for staben på onsdag. De syns jo han var, de sa i hvert fall han var god, men om de mente det, det vet jeg ikke. Ikke alltid du kan stole på folk, men så var det litt sånn underveis her på den konferansen som var der i helga, og litt sånn så kjente jeg at det var kanskje ikke det som sko fram helt allikevel. Og så begynte jeg å snakke litt med disse gjestene som har vært her fra Eaglebrook, og så tenkte jeg, de har jo så mye de kan gi oss og fortelle oss, så hvorfor skal jeg bruke mitt når jeg kan liksom prøve å stjele litt fra deg? Så det jeg fant ut, det var rett og slett at jeg ønsker på en måte å intervjue dem. Og litt av årsaken til det er at nå har jeg vært på GLS ganske mange år, men de siste 7-8 årene så har det hver gang har det kommet et team fra USA over her. Og det er folk som ikke har 5 uker ferie, sånn som oss. De har i gjennomsnitt i USA 2-3 uker ferie. Noen av de som kommer her i dag har ikke ferie i det hele tatt. De må ta fri fra jobben og sånn. Men allikevel så velger de å bruke en uke på å reise her til, for å bare få tjene under en konferanse på en fantastisk plass, men ikke verdens navle likevel, så heter Frøyland Orstad. Og det synes jeg er jo utrolig flott. Så er det sånn at disse er fra USA, og det betyr at de ikke er gitt den store gaven å snakke norsk, som mange av oss andre her har fått. Og så er det sånn at det er en person som gir meg veldig mye frimodighet i livet, og det er Torbjørn Jagland. For når jeg hører hvordan han kan snakke engelsk i sammenheng med andre folk, så tenker jeg, da kan jeg gjemme meg snakke engelsk her, og det bør være uproblematisk. Så for dere som engelsklærere og tenker han trenger hjelp, så kan jeg si at når jeg hadde engelsk på videregående, så var engelsklæreren samlet en russekort av alle, utenom meg og Paul Helge, som mange av dere kjenner, for vi var ikke gode nok til at han ville ha russekort av oss. Så det er liksom nivået på engelsken som dere får nå. Men ja, sånn er det. Men det heter i Bibelen at frimodighet og stor lønn, og den kommer jeg til å benytte meg av her. Jeg skal prøve å oversette bitte litt underveis, men jeg kan ikke oversette alt. Hvis jeg skal intervjue og oversette alt, da kommer det å gå helt i sur i hovedet mitt. Men litt underveis blir oversatt, bare så dere er klar over det. Hvis det er noen også som tenker at det ord eller det hadde vært greit hvis noen oversatte til meg, så bare snur du til den på siden av deg, og så håper du at vedkommende kan hjelpe deg. Hvis vedkommende ikke kan hjelpe deg, så får du spørre meg etterpå, eller noen andre etterpå. But then I want the people from the Eaglebrook Church to come for her on stage, and I be give them a warm welcome. First of all, just only give us your name and what do you do for a living when you are not here in this area. What is your main occupation?
My name is Chris Schramm, and I am a sales engineer for selling electrical equipment.
Yeah. My name is Angie, and I'm a retail store manager for a women's boutique.
My name is Megan, and I am one of the youth pastors at our church.
My name is Heather Severhus, and I am a mom, and I also work for a bank, a financial services institution in the United States, in human resources.
I'm Nancy Moore, and I am a leadership transition consultant.
I'm Trudy Christensen. I'm trained as a nutritionist, but I'm a professional volunteer.
My name is Todd Christensen, and I'm a retired chemical engineer who did product development for 3M. Hmm.
And Todd, he has been to Norway 8 times because he has relatives in north of Norway and east of Norway, but not here in this part. Is that right?
Not that I know about.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, first of all, can you tell us a little bit about your church, the history about the church, what the background for the church is?
Yeah, our church started in 1948, very small, in someone's living room, only 19 people. And for the last 23 years, we've had a pastor named Bob Merritt, and when he came, he just was really passionate about reaching people for Christ. The church was about 300 people at the time, and they started to really grow. He's a great teacher and works really well with the staff and all the people. And in 2005, we had really grown. We had outgrown the building that we were in a town called White Bear Lake. And they had started, we had two auditoriums they had built on, and we started doing ping pong services. So Bob would teach, and then while they were singing, then he would go teach and go back and forth. Yeah. So you get really tired at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so they decided to build a new building to get everybody in together at once. And said, we will close the old building and we will sell it. Hmm. 6 weeks after they opened the new building, they had opened the old one back up because this one was too full.
Yeah.
And so that was the beginning of us having multiple campuses. Yes. And we now have six.
Det var sånn rask oversettelse. De startet egentlig på, i 48, men og i 1992 så var de da 300 stykk. Og så kommer det en pastor med full fokus på det å nå nye folk, og i 2005 så har det vokst så mye pingpong-gudstjeneste, det vet ikke hva jeg setter det på norsk, men det får kalles pingpong-gudstjeneste for han presten som måtte springe frem og tilbake. Men nå har de begynt med noe som altså har flere campuses, eller flere plasser, de har video, direkte video på det som blir undervist, og det som spennende med det kan virke helt fjernt ut for oss å tenke, men jeg var på en sånn en i Atlanta, og noen av de som var med meg, jeg visste det, så jeg la merke til det, men noen av de som var med meg, de trodde at han som sto og forkynte der, at han var der. Men faktum var at han var i en annen bygning, eller enten samme bygning, men han var i en annen plass, det var bare, alt gikk på video, men det var så profesjonelt lagt her, at du følte allikevel at det var der. Så det var en veldig spesiell måte å gjøre det på. Jeg tenkte at dette vil aldri fungere, men det er noe med USA som viser at det som ikke fungerer faktisk kan fungere hvis du bare står på. Så det har de fått til. You have Eaglebrook as, for Eaglebrook, you have Norway as a special country, together with other countries in the world. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Our mission at Eaglebrook is, we say, empowered by God to reach others for Christ. And we didn't set out to be a multi-site church. It just happened and more people kept coming. And our staff and our pastors would pray. And that's the direction we headed to start having more campuses. But we also always have been involved in missions. And, you know, the Bible, God tells us in the Bible, you know, go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And so we've worked with other countries, you know, some of the third world ones that are very poor, just going and serving, maybe building houses, helping deliver clean water. But many years ago, we have been attending the Global Leadership Summit, and we worked with Willow Creek Church to begin partnering to help get the Global Leadership Summit going somewhere else. And they had given us a list of the countries that they wanted to get it started in, and Norway was on that list. And in Minnesota, we have a very large Norwegian heritage, in the Midwest especially. A lot of people, you know, back in the 1800s came over to that area. So it's just felt right that, because that's our heritage, we felt called that was where God wanted us to partner. We wanted to come alongside Willow Creek Church to help get the Global Leadership Summit going because we believe that the leaders can grow. But eventually we really wanted to find churches in Norway who were wanting to do like what we do, is reach people for Christ no matter how you do it. Hmm. And so we're working closely with a lot of churches too.
Hmm. Yeah. Also, de valgte Norge, de fikk tilbud fra Willow Creek, som den menigheten som startet GLS. Forskjellige land, men på grunn av at det masse nordmenn, utvandrer nordmenn i det området hvor den menigheten, så følte de det var naturlig å velge Norge. So everyone, can you tell very short, but how has you experienced being here serving this week for this conference, starting with you, Chris?
For me, it's been wonderful. I'm half Norwegian, so this is great to come back and serve here and reach people for Christ and have a servant's heart. Mm. And so that's my story.
It's been wonderful, beautiful all around. I love to see how much you all want to love also. Mm-hmm.
For me, I was excited to be able to come and use my experiences just from work and life. And right away, I got to meet Lisa. She's your youth pastor here. She started her job 2 months ago, and I started my job 2 months ago. So it was perfect. We got to meet and share a lot of stories, and we'll continue to do that.
As believers, we're all given spiritual gifts, and being a mom and having a full-time position, I'm very busy, and so I really enjoy being able to go on mission trips where I can focus on my relationship with God as well as serving others. And so it has just been such an honor and privilege to be able to serve the people in Norway and just really be able to focus on loving others.
For me, it was the opportunity to come and just to love people and to smile and hopefully to show them something of the love that God has for them in through the service. And we have been so warmly received. My heart has been incredibly blessed through my interaction with this congregation and the warmth that we've received here too. So it's been a privilege to serve, but it's been a blessing to serve.
This is the fourth time that Todd and I have had opportunity to serve at the GLS in Norway, twice in Sandnes and once in Oslo. And the scripture teaches us that everyone is given at least one spiritual gift for the common good, and it's to build up the church. And when we're all understanding our gifts and encouraged in our gifts and educated in our gifts, the church will work. And so we're all servants, whether we're pastors or leading worship or cleaning the bathroom, right? Mm. If you have the gift of service, use it, and then the church will work. So it's a joy to be a part of the, in a very humble way, of the GLS. Mm. And we hope that leaders in Norway will be really encouraged. And, you know, everybody's a leader. Everybody here could come to the GLS, because if you're a mother or a father or have a job, you are going to be a leader in some capacity. So, yeah, it's good information.
Thank you. I want to thank you very much as a church for choosing to partner with Arilla Creek to have the Global Leadership Summit come here. It takes a lot of work. It's not convenient. And there's a lot of preparation and a lot of putting things back after you're done. And many of your people who are wonderful leaders and servers here, you know who they are, gave themselves very generously to make all the things flow so smoothly. As well, you all made us feel very welcome to be a part, to be able to serve with you as you serve the people who came. So thank you for that. We've enjoyed building relationships with some of you and building relationships with some of the other leaders who've come from around Norway to be a part of the Global Leadership Summit as well.
Oppsummert så kan vi si at alle var fornøyd med å være her. Det tror jeg jeg sa, you were all happy to be here. Så, men og at det ja, det har på mange måter gitt mye tilbake til de. Det som veldig spennende jo at de ikke bare må ta fri fra jobben sin eller bruke ferien, men de må jo også betale det, sånn at det ikke på mange alle her, til og med hun som ungdomspastor, må betale dette selv. Hun hadde et tilbud, men hun velde å betale dette selv. Og oppholdet, man kan si mye om Norge, men at det billigt å feriere her, det det I hvert fall ikke, for å si sånn. Så, og så Rutt og Arne og noen andre innkvartert i sånn sett, så har de fått bud billigt, men allikevel så det dyrt å reise til Norge. Men det ønsker de å gjøre. Og det de ønsker gjort, det at de, hvis de går ned på toalettene, så det ekstra regnet, for der de har vaskt deg godt, golven har de vaskt, de har delt ut på kaffe og hatt en sånn tjenersinn som har vært utrolig, utrolig flott. Så, thank you for that you come here and served us with the restrooms and they were quite ugly, so you had to be very good. Todd, you are a retired person from your job in the 3M. In Norway, and I guess in the U.S. as well, when you get to that age and that part of life, you dream of having a cabin in the mountain or at the sea. Or for you, I guess, living in Florida with the heat, and that would be good. We want this country, Sweden, that's a country no one knows about, but everyone wants to travel in the middle ocean. But you use your time, your spare time, differently. What kind of satisfactions does that give you?
As I was approaching retirement in my 50s, God really spoke to me and said, yes, retirement's coming from you, but I have things for you to do. I've given you abilities. I can't sing, and I can't preach. I can't do those things, but I can serve, and I can love people, and I can find ways to do that in the community and in the church and in other countries. And so God has asked me to do that in different ways. So I don't spend so much time fishing or golfing, but God's given me an opportunity to be involved with the church and in nonprofit organizations that are serving Christ. And I find great reward to know that the Lord has shown me things that He'd like to have me be a part of. And I can serve and enjoy God's pleasure in doing that.
Very good. You serve in different countries. You are in Thailand and China and other places. Can you tell shortly?
So I've had a chance to go with other teams to help build Bible schools and housing and Christian camps and things like that in Thailand, in China. Teach English in other countries too as a way to reach out to people, take youth, our young people, our teenagers to other countries, to put on English camps so that they can also share with young people in that country and encourage them to know and follow Jesus.
Hmm. So that's your way of living as a retired person, a cabin.
Yes, it feels like my life. So
it's your life, yeah.
I like it.
Great satisfaction.
Yes.
Yeah. And yesterday you told me that when you got to this stage in life, that now the life really begins in God's perspective because you have so much experience you can share with the younger.
Yes. At this point in our life, I've spent so much time earning money so that my family can eat and have a place to live, and that's all very good. But now some resources have collected, and I have more free time. So I have time resources, and I have financial resources, and God's given me experiences that are valuable to share with other people who are interested to learn those things. Mm. And so He asks me to find the places where I can use those, to give those back to others and encourage them in their faith too.
Det var en kort översättelse av det handlar om. Alltså han är 58 år och blivit pensionist för några år sedan. Det handlar nog om jobben han har haft och allt detta så att han men det har gett honom många möjligheter nu att bruka hela tiden sig, hela livet sitt på egentligen på menigheten, på familjen, men också på andra projekt som är I andra delar av världen. Han fortällde mig bland annat att driva ett projekt i Afrika, sånt som de akkurat nu var väl nästan på väg mot det Ebola-ramade området eller sånt. Så det är massa spännande som han står mitt uppe I och har gjort bevisste valg på det. Och det tänker jag är en utmaning man har gått av att ta med oss. Alltså hvordan ser vi för oss livet? Vad är för många då? Det gode liv, som TV2 var det vel satt en serie på, hva det gode liv? Jeg tror den stemmen der kan være en god korreksjon på det gode liv for oss.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
Yes. So I think I'm very happy to be a part of things that are not just for today, but to invest in things that will last forever and be a part of changing my life and help others' lives change.
Yeah. Det var en del av ting med evighetsperspektiv meningsfullt. Ja. Right now in Eagle Brook Church, it's a big church. How many people one Sunday in 6 campuses?
With all the adults and children, yeah. We average about 20,000.
Yes, 20,000 på en vanlig søndag. Vi har litt igjen. But right now, 20,000 people, you're restructuring the
our
church,
staff, yep.
Our staff, and also some of the volunteers.
Yeah.
Because you feel, you told me you reached, last year 2,000 people came to Christ,
mm-hmm.
And you feel that you're not effective enough. For us, 2,000 people coming to Christ feels very effective. But
yeah.
you restructure it because you want to be even more effective with your resources,
mm-hmm.
and in your mission to reach people for Christ. Can you tell me a little bit about what kind of tension uh-huh. does that create
yeah.
in a church?
Yeah, and reaching 2,000 people for Christ is fantastic. We celebrate every single one of them. But as big a church as we are, we have to run kind of like a business, like a company. And when we had set the structure. We only had 3 campuses, and now that we are at 6, that structure that ran really well for 3 campuses doesn't run as well. It ran okay, but God's blessed us with a lot of resources, and we have to honor those resources and be very, very good with them. And so our staff, our board, our pastors spent a lot of time thinking and praying. I know it was really hard for them. Some of them, they didn't sleep for weeks because it was very hard what the decisions they were making. But they knew that the end goal for making these changes was so that we could be more honoring with the resources of, you know, people's tithes and offerings, as well as, you know, our buildings and our staff and our people and our volunteers. Everything would run better so that we could reach more people for Christ, so that people could grow in their own faith each and every day. We knew it would be better than what it was. It was very hard. At the same time, we decided to do the restructure. Our tithes, our giving was a little bit down, and so we also had to lay off 14 people. 14 people lost their jobs. I actually was one of them. I was working in a different job before. And so that was very hard. The tension there was that it was personal. You know, people lost their jobs. You know, we lost friends that we didn't get to work with anymore. Some of the resources also meant some of the ministries had to either be changed, they had to be made smaller, or they were cut. And people were very passionate about those ministries. And we'll get back into them, maybe doing them a little differently so that we can do them better. But it takes time. And we're humans. We're not very patient. And so people want the change to be fixed right away. So it takes a little time. It takes a lot of prayer. And, you know, we just comfort people and listen to them and, you know, affirm that their feelings are not wrong, that they're sad that these things have happened, but that we need them to pray with us and them to work with us. And it's slowly starting to pick back up where we feel like this new structure that we got into is good. It's not perfect, but it's good, and we're going to get better as we go. A lot of our volunteers are figuring out where they fit now and what their new volunteer role is. And it's getting there. And some of us who were laid off are back on staff, just in new roles. And so we see progress. And it takes time and a lot of faith. But God is honoring that because we made the hard decision to do it.
Thank you. Ja, det var mye, så jeg vet ikke hvordan jeg skal oversette det. Men det var en endring. Men den underliggende driven i hele endringen har vært dette med at hvordan kan en bli enda mer effektiv med å nå nye mennesker med evangeliet. Altså de er selvfølgelig fornøyd med 2000 som kommer til tro, men på grunn av strukturene blir mer kompliserte, så må de gjøre endringer, sånn at det ikke strukturene blir en hindring. Og det er jo en smertefull prosess. Det var noen oppsigelser og litt sånne ting, men det har på mange måter kommet gjennom. Det som har vært drivkraften hele tiden er dette med å nå nye. De har noe som kalles sitt fokusområde. I'm just reading your focus on Norwegian. De har 3 nøkkelområder, at de skal ha undervisning, musikk og et miljø som er relevant. Relevans er på mange måter det ene nøkkelområdet deres, eller fokusområdet, til mennesker og kulturen. Og så skal de hjelpe mennesker på å erfare forandringen, eller erfare forandring, og så skal gi mennesker mulighet til å ta eierskap i troen og menigheten, sånn at de kan vokse, gi og tjene. Og så har de en flott ting. Før hver eneste gudstjeneste, hver eneste ting de gjør, så, og hver eneste tjeneste og sånn, så spør de 3 spørsmål. Er dette relevant? Vil det forandre liv? Og vil det gi mennesker mulighet til å ta eierskap? Det er på mange av de 3 spørsmål som alt skal filtreres gjennom de 3 spørsmålene. Og det synes jeg det er jo med på å gi dem et ekstremt godt fokus på hva det har vil være å være en menighet. And Todd, I have a suspicion that the Sunday service in your church is not designed for people at your age, 58, 59 and older, maybe not even my age. 43. But I can see that there is a lot of people at your age in this church thinking, oh, it would have been great someday if the music was a little bit not so loud, or it's not so rocky, or what you call it. But you have a mindset, you have a way of thinking that you, and a culture that you say, that's okay for us. Can you explain that mindset?
Yes. I've grown up as a Christian in the church for many years, and I grew up with a different set of music that we sang and the way that we worshiped. I loved it. It was very, very comfortable for me and helped me to worship. My wife and I came to Eagle Brook 3 years ago, and when we came, we saw that God was doing something significant in reaching people, so that people are coming to faith and they're growing in their faith. And we were so excited to be a part of that happening. And although the music is maybe a little louder than I'm used to, maybe a little faster than I'm used to in church, I said, I am excited that they have found this strategy that's very effective for people to come in and feel welcome with music that they feel comfortable with. Certainly many young people come, and I'm glad we have these people that are here too, that enjoy and more used to that style of music. But there are many people our age and older than us that come into the church too that feel very welcome in that place and enjoy that. And even though perhaps it's not exactly the way I want it, I'm thrilled to be a part of a church that's reaching people and making Christianity available to them.
You know, the Norwegians, they are not impulsive at all, and when they are applauding, that has to be good.
There are always earplugs.
There are always øreplugger. De leverer alltid ut øreplugger I gudstjenesten, så ja, de forteller I gudstjenesteprogrammet, så stod det, du kan finne øreplugger der og der. Så det jo en måte å gjøre det på. But Chris, you're quite new at your journey of faith, but you had some years where you were exploring the faith, and you were going to the services in Eagle Brook. What was important for you at your journey when you got to church? What was important for you?
Sure. So the first, I grew up in a Christian church until I was 18, and then I kind of left the church for about 10 years. Still believed in God, but wasn't involved in own it. A couple years ago, Angie and I got married, and we started going to Eagle Brook. And probably the biggest thing for me was the newer age music. We listen to the music that they sing is on the radio, on Christian radio, every day. So we get excited every time we go to church to hear our favorite song or a different song, trying to figure out what they're going to do that day. But that's one part. And then the next part would be the messages. Like you said, they're relevant. I can use them in my daily life, and I really learn a lot from those. So those are two major points for me.
Yeah. And you, Angie, you have had a trouble yourself with your faith. Can you tell us, how did you become a follower of Christ?
Just 3 years ago, I was engaged to Chris, and marriage is big, and I didn't know how I was going to support Chris, and I didn't know how I could support a family, or if my job was enough, if I was doing enough, if I was enough. I didn't know I had a purpose. I always believed in God, but I didn't know I could have a relationship with Him. And it was a night, I was crying, I was very sad and distraught, and I heard a voice in my soul saying, come find me, and I could only imagine that that was God at the time, the Holy Spirit, and I started to look into churches and into faith, Francis Chan, an author, and I said, okay, I'm going to be hot or I'm going to be cold, no in between, I'm going to be hot. So that's how I came to Jesus, because He really loves me for all of me, when I'm at my best, when I'm at my worst, Still understanding grace. And living in that daily minute. And so, yeah.
Thank you. I want to pray for you. That's the last thing we do. Jesus, I want to thank you for the testimony from these people and the testimony of servanthood. Thank you for the way they are showing us how to serve other people, and in the deepest meaning, how to serve you. I thank you for their passion for you, for the church, for the leaders. I thank for the Eagle Brook Church, and I hope they will find reach more and more people. I want to bless their travel home. Let the inspiration they have in their hearts now also be inspiration for other people when they come back to Eagle Brook. I thank you, Lord, for let us be known with them. Bless them. Amen. De neste 4 månedene for Frøyland Nordstad er spennende måneder. For noe av det som jeg blir fascinert over, både av Eagle Brook og andre menigheter, er det der tanken om at vi er jo satt her for at vi skal bety en forskjell. Vi er ikke satt her bare for å være et bygg som mennesker kan komme til, men vi satt her med en litt djupere mening som handler om at vi skal gå ut og bety en forskjell for denne verden. Vi skal bety en forskjell for naboer, vi skal bety en forskjell for vise godhet til mennesker. I de neste 4 månedene så har vi sannsynligvis ikke verdens beste redskap, men litt sånne muligheter til å tenke på, kan dette være et av de mange stegene som vi går som menighet? Allerede nå på fredag, når vi har Halloween her, så tenker jeg at det er 600 unger igjen innom. Det er 400 voksne kan være. Så tenker jeg, tenk hvis jeg fikk lov å komme inn her, og fikk lov til å erfare noe godt. For det er at vi som fellesskap mobiliserte og sa, ja, vi ønsker å være til velsignelse for folket rundt oss. Hvis ikke du har mulighet til å komme her på fredag og være med som enten deltaker eller være med som leder eller noe sånt, så har jeg lyst å utfordre på en ting. Og det er, der du er på fredag, be som om at hele arrangementet var helt avhengig av de bønn. At det er alt ramlig sammen hvis ikke du ber. For jeg tenker det er så mye muligheter i bønn. Hvis vi som fellesskap løfter dette opp sammen i bønn, så tenker jeg at mennesker, unge og voksne som har sin bagasje når jeg kommer inn her. Noen har hatt krevende dager og sånne ting. Tenk hvis jeg fikk komme her og erfare noe godt. Tenk hvis folk fikk komme, eller fikk et besøk den siste vegen i november av deg med et smil rundt munnen, hvor du sa, vi ønsker bare å gi deg denne gaven, og håper dere som familie får en god jul. Vi ønsker å gi dere denne kalenderen. Les gjerne om julegaveaksjonen på baksiden, og vær med oss og velsign andre resten av bygden hvis dere vil det, eller noe sånt. Jeg vet ikke hvordan du vil formulere det, men vi ønsker å bare gi deg noe. Vi ønsker å bety noe positivt. Og så har vi denne fantastiske muligheten i desember, hvor vi alle kan få gi penger inn på en konto, og så blir de pengene tatt med hjelp av NAV til å gi til alenemødre, gjerne innvandrerfamilier, andre som vet at det når julen kommer, så er det en stor smerte i livet deres. Sannsynligvis mange andre også, men det at de kan ikke gi ungene gaver, for det har de ikke råd. Tenk at det vil bety at de da får via NAV et gavekort på kanskje en 1000-lapp eller et eller annet sånt. For det at det var en menighet, det var et fellesskap, det var en bygd. Min drøm er at hele bygden ble med på dette. Som på mange måter sier, dette kan bli verdens beste plass å bo på. Og for de med mindre ressurser, for at vi i fellesskap løfter dette i sammen. Setter pengene på kontoen og tenker litt mindre på oss selv, og litt mer på de som er rundt oss. Og så er det et spennende prosjekt i januar, som vi håper starter på januar, og det er noen kaller språkkaféen. Og det er Josef som er med i det. Men tenk om jeg hadde fått en kafé her, en gang i vega eller annen hver vega, hvor mennesker som er kommet her til, enten fra Østerop eller andre plasser, kom her til, og så hadde de en plass hvor de bare kunne være og snakke norsk, og lære å snakke norsk. Ungene lærer det med en gang de kommer på skolen og sånne ting, eller i barnehage, men foreldrene sliter. For det er ingen fellesskap. hvor de får lov til å lære å snakke norsk. Jeg mener vi har 4 fantastisk spennende måneder foran oss, hvor vi kan få bety så enormt mye. Årsaken til vi gjør det er ikke at vi ønsker å være hippe eller kule, men årsaken er at vi har litt, ønsker å ha mye av den samme driven og visjonen som Eagle Brook har. Nemlig, hvordan kan vi gå ut og bety en forskjell? Hvordan kan vi vise folk at det faktisk finnes en Gud som er så glad i dem, at han ga sitt liv for dem? Jeg håper dere er med på det. Jeg håper at dere etter gudstjenesten nå, jeg tror det var ikke du, Jon, som skulle stå i forbi, og setter dere opp på den liste, ja, jeg vil være med og gi ut en kalender. Jeg vil gi 40 kalender i mitt nabolag eller et eller annet sånt. Skriv dere opp på den lista, og betyr en forskjell. Det håper jeg dere er med på. Skal vi be helt til slutt. Jesus, jeg bare ber om at du skaper noe av den samme brann, iveren og nøden i våre hjerter som den menigheten i USA har. Men enda mer av den samme nøden og brannen som du har. Og så ber jeg om at vi får være en menighet, et fellesskap, vi får være enkeltpersoner som er med på å gjøre denne verden til en bedre plass for mennesker som strever med livet. At vi kan vise noe av din kjærlighet, noe av din godhet. At vi kan se mennesker som trenger å bli sett, lytte til det som trenger å bli lyttet til. Vise dem noe av hvem du er, de som trenger å se deg for nytt. Det ber vi om i ditt navn, Jesus. Amen.